Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 tonight. And you might not remember, but I started a series on Wednesday night, one I've preached on several times on answered prayer. And the first thing we talked about was how our lifestyle affects our prayer life or can affect our prayer life. Because if we don't live the word lifestyle, you know, the word abiding in us, us abiding in the word, then what it does is it robs you of confidence, and which will affect your prayer life. Tonight, I want to talk to you about how God's word is a solid foundation for your prayer life. And how we need to incorporate God's word in our prayer life and make sure that our prayers are based on God's word. And, let me read a scripture and then we'll talk about these things. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 says, "This is the confidence," we could say the boldness, the faith, "that also that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Chapter 5. Y'all at 5? Verse 14. You tell me, Miss Phyllis, is the only one who had it wrong tonight? You the only one who had it wrong tonight, huh? Yeah, you had verse 4. He had verse 4. I said 4? Okay. 5. Y'all just let me preach a little bit here and then go to 1 John chapter 5. All right. Mark's only got one tab in his Bible and it's for the book of Mark, you know. See? I saw his Bible. He's got one tab. Mark thinks Mark is the, and that's okay to have your favorite book. Mark's favorite book is the book of Mark. Amen. And that's the only one he's got marked in his Bible. It's like, we're not preaching in the book of Mark, he ain't going there. All right. We're going to 1 John tonight. Is that all right? Is everybody all right with that? Verse 14. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have desired of him." This is two powerful verses. And there's two powerful ifs in there. If we ask anything according to his will. Well, how many know, I said this one time, wouldn't it be great if we had a book that told us God's will? How many know we got it, right? It's called the Bible, right? 66 books in there of God's will. So we could say this and it would be the same thing. If we ask anything according to his word, he hears us. Wouldn't that be the same? So there's the one if. If you ask according to his will, how many know if you ask according to his will, he heard you? Now verse 15, and if, here's another if, we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have desired of him. So the second if is if you know that he heard you. In other words, if you have confidence that he heard you, okay? So one, you gotta ask according to his will or according to his word, right? Two, you have to know. I mean, I hope you're seeing this. It's you got to start off with asking according to his word, right? But then you have to know he heard you. See, if we know he heard us, we've got it. If we ask according to his will, he heard us. He heard us. But if we know he heard us, we got it. You see, there's two parts of that. How many are following that? There's two parts there. You got to first make sure it's according to his will. Now, since he's already said that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, then we can have confidence that he did hear us and we've got it. We know he heard us. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this tonight and maybe look at some other scriptures tonight. Just talk about this a little bit because I don't know how your prayer life goes. I'd say it's probably pretty similar to mine. I think everybody's probably pretty similar. But I have times when I'm praying, and boy, I just sense the presence of God. I like that. And then I have times, Pastor Chuck, when I'm praying, it's dry as dust. Why y'all quiet? How many know that's not what we base it on? You know, old Pentecost used to say, I sense God, I feel God. And let me just say this to you. There's times we do, and that's good. There's times. I did tonight during praise and worship. Boy, I sense God's presence. I love that, and we can have that. But that is not the guarantee that He heard us. Feelings come and feelings go. I don't know about you, but my feelings change sometimes. There's days I wake up and think it's all over with. Where's the rapture at? But there's days I feel like, where's the devil at? I'll kick him in a place or two. Is that true with feelings? Am I alone? Am I just weird? You know, just an outlier here or something? No, that's just, you have to learn that's just part of your soul. You can't pay attention to that. I can change your soul, your emotions, your feelings. You know, or somebody could come along, and let's just say it this way. Somebody could come along, you know, tonight before you go to bed and give you $100,000. I guarantee you they're going to change your emotions. Amen. Some of y'all get, your emotions get changed when your team wins or loses. Amen. They get bummed out and so forth and all that. And, you know, when you got a professional team like we have in football, you just get used to it. Losing. So you don't have this roller coaster any longer. All right, that was just a joke. No, kind of true. But my point in saying that is that you can't base whether God heard you on how you feel or how you don't feel. I've had prayer times where I'm praying and I just sense the presence of God and we're clicking, we're moving along and things, I love that. But then I have times where like, I've got to use my faith that, you know, God even knows my name. You know, but God doesn't want us living by our feelings. He wants us living by faith. Amen. Remember Thomas, the Thomas kind of faith? When Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see. And Jesus heard his unbelief, didn't he? He showed up and said, Thomas. I mean, no, he still hears our unbelief today. And so he said, Thomas, he said, reach here your hand, feel my side, look at my hands. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you saw. Blessed are those that believe and have not seen. Amen. We have to go with we don't want the Thomas kind of faith. Amen. We want the Abraham kind of faith that believes without any evidence, right? We believe it based on God's word. So we know God heard us, not according to our feelings, but according to His word. Faith begins where God's will is known. That is why it's erroneous to say that, you know, for many prayers, not all prayers, but for many prayers, it's erroneous to say, if it be your will. Now, some churches teach their people to pray every prayer and end it with, if it be your will. But the only reason we'd ever pray, if it be your will, is if we did not know God's will. But on a lot of things, we do know God's will. When we're supposed to know God's will. God instructs us to know His will. That's why He said, in John 15, when He's talking about prayer, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you, because the word's abiding in you, and you're praying according to His will. And so if you don't know the will of God, like some people think that we're supposed to pray and ask God, you know, heal Aunt Minnie if it's your will. But have you know, God's already spoken His will about that. So we're supposed to know that, right? Well, but you know, I mean, what about where I'm supposed to, who I'm supposed to marry and stuff like that. Well, that's not in the Bible, is it? It doesn't say, hey, Mary, go marry John. So there you got to use, you know, that's where you got to discern the will of God, because the Bible doesn't tell you. But there are certain things the Bible tells us it's His will. How many know, it's the Bible, John said, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So it's, I've got three things right there. I'm supposed to be in health, I'm supposed to prosper, and my soul's supposed to prosper. I already know that's the will of God. I mean, it blesses God when we know what He said about something. Amen? So we have to go back to this, you know, if we're going to have a solid prayer life, we've got to base it on the Word and not on our feelings and not on what we see in the natural. Amen? Now, let's go to Mark chapter 4, Mark the 4th chapter. I want to look at some scripture tonight, I think. Let's go here to Mark 4, because I want to put this principle in you. Even though it's a simple principle, you may know it, you may already have it down, but you have to rehear things. Believe me, you have to rehear things. How many of you can't just tell your children once on some things? Isn't it amazing they... You know, if they mow the yard, they forget they're supposed to mow the yard every Saturday. You have to remind them? Well, we're the same way. We have to be reminded of things. Now, in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, Jesus is talking about the Word, and He said in verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word, that Word being the Word of God, and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So He says it's the Word that's going to bear fruit in their life. Some will be 30-fold, some will be 60, and some will be 100. But, well, and that's not God's determination. I've taught you this before. God doesn't determine whether you're 30, 60, or 100. If you read that the parable Jesus has given there, He talks about different things that Satan sends to steal the Word out of you. And it's how much you stand against those things. How much, if you allow 60% of the cares of life in your life, it'll steal that much of the Word out from operating in your life. It'll become unfruitful, or it will produce no results. See? Amen? And so it's not up. So how much Word we put in our prayer life will determine the level of fruit that we're going to get out of our prayer life. How many 30s would be of God's blessing? That'd bless you pretty good, but there's still 70% that you're not getting. 60 would be wonderful, but you're still missing out on 40. How about let's shoot for 100? It's there, isn't it? Jesus said 100-fold. If you just got 90, how many know you'd be pretty blessed, right? So it's the Word that guarantees us results. Amen? The more we base our prayer life on the Word, the more results we'll see. So we have to go back. You know, we can't... I was going through a thing one time years ago. I was very young in the Lord, young in the ministry. I was just getting started. And I was going through an attack of the devil. And, man, I was really getting beat up, you know. And... So I got discouraged. And I never forget, I had the Lord say something to me, and I didn't hear it audibly, but you know how He'll talk to your heart. And because another brother in the Lord had come over to my house to try to, he knew what I was going through, he knew I was discouraged. So he came over to my house to try to encourage me, and I ran him off. You know, I just the space to just go on, get out of here. I don't want to hear it. And so that's, how many know that's bad, right? When a dog won't wag its own tail, that's bad, all right? How many know sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord? You got to wag your own tail. Get back there and grab it and start wagging it. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do your, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. So the Lord spoke to me after this brother left, after he left my house. And he was a good brother, and we were friends, so he didn't, you know, it didn't, might offend him a little bit, but I mean, it didn't serve our friendship. He just knew I was going through a hard time. But the Lord said to me this, I'll never forget it. He said, I will cry with you all the way down. and not be able to help you if you don't use your faith. Now that rattled me, because I just realized what Jesus said to me. I'm going down. The way I'm going down. And he's going to feel sorry for me. But feeling sorry for you doesn't help you. Y'all with me? How many saw people off the side of the road in the snow during this incident? Did you feel sorry for them? That didn't help them a bit. Did it? You got to go back and do something. Right? It's like one time I was driving home after church. It was raining. And some guy decided to take the corner too fast going towards our subdivision, got his car off and was down in the ditch. I got home, told Phyllis about it. I said, man, there's a guy down there in the ditch. I said, man, if it wasn't raining and it wasn't night and I didn't have my dress clothes on, I'd help that guy. Then I said that. Yeah, I'm just being honest, you know. It's like, that's not a good time. You should have caught me when I had my overalls on. I don't even have any. But you understand that that's what God was saying to me. I feel sorry for you, son. I know you're going through a hard time, and I will cry with you, but you're going down if you don't do something. You got to wag your own tail. Amen. See, you know, sometimes we have to shake ourselves a little bit and grab onto some new concepts. You know what I mean? That, you know, we got some responsibility. You know, that's a new concept to some. Amen. I mean, just because it's new doesn't mean it's not true, right?
Right.
You know, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but Happy Caldwell say one time he's a pastor from, well, he's not pastor now, he's traveling now, but he was a pastor from Little Rock. And he said that he went into a mall and he saw this store called Untuck It. Now, how many are familiar with Untuck It? Untuck It, it's a cool concept. I like it. I get emails from them and stuff. Untuck It, like, you know, I tuck my shirt in, but, you know, when I'm out just running around, I like to leave my shirt hanging out. You know what I'm saying? But the only problem is the men's shirts will come down here and look like a dress. So it's like, this looks, you know, you look at it, this just looks like stupid, like I got a bed sheet on or something here, and it's not going to work. Untuck It makes shirts that are meant to be untucked. You know, they come down just so far, you know what I'm saying? So a little bit less material there. And so it's a good concept if you're not going to tuck your shirt in, so you don't look stupid. And so, but Happy'd never heard of it. And so he goes, what is that, Untuck It? So he goes in the store and there's a lady in there working. What's Untuck It? She goes, oh, well, we make shirts, you know, that want to be worn not tucked in. He said, my daddy would have spanked me if I'd have done that. It was a new concept to him. You know what I'm saying? He never heard of that. Some of y'all are looking like, I never heard of that. No, check it out. It's yeah, they're pricey, but, you know, you have to tuck them in. So you're saving yourself some time. Time is money. All right? But we have to get the hold of some concepts sometimes that, you know, sometimes people want to, especially on the church at large, want to lay everything off on God like it's all his responsibility when he's already done his part. It's really our move now, and then when we move, then the manifestation will come our way. But we have to move towards him. It's just like Jesus doesn't have to come down and die on the cross to get somebody saved today. He's already done it. It's up to them now, isn't it? But how many know when they move his way, then the power will be released for them to be born again. And the same thing's true with all of God's promises. Amen. Look at Psalm 119. So we're just talking about, you got to incorporate the word in your prayer life. You got to go find out what does the Bible say? What's the Bible say about this? And go find that and stand on that and pray that and incorporate that. Sometimes when I'm praying for you all, sometimes I'll just pray the prayers that Paul's already prayed for the churches. In Ephesians, there's a couple of them in Ephesians, one in Philippians chapter 1 and one in Colossians chapter 1. Because I know Paul... I kind of trust him. When I say I know Paul, I know he prayed some good stuff. It made it in the Bible. So it's spirit inspired prayers, and so I'll pray that over you all, and you know, I know that that's a good prayer. Amen. Now, look here in Psalm 119, verse 89. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Now, how many know God's word settled up there? We got to get it settled down here in our lives, right? That is true. Remember when the angel came to Mary, she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." In other words, she said, I don't know how, look, this is the way she was. I don't know how virgins have a baby. I don't know how they do it, but if you said it, then they do it. See, the problem with Zacharias is, you know, when Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, when the angel came to him and said, "Your wife Elizabeth's going to conceive," and he says, "How can this be? I'm an old man, my wife is an old woman, and it's past the time. How can this be?" I mean, he's got doubt there. And the thing of it is, he's been praying for a child, because the angel's first thing that one of the angels said was, "Your prayer is heard." So he's been praying, but he's not been believing. Or actually, probably praying at a younger age, most likely. More than likely. Most people that are 90 don't pray for children. They pray for them to go away. Right? I used to say, I'm teasing everybody. Come on. We love kids. Phyllis and I do love kids. We're just glad they're your kids that we can enjoy. You take them home, we enjoy them while they're here. You know. And so I used to say about our grandkids, when they'd all come over, all six at once, and when they leave, I'd say, "Jesus sent the multitudes away." It's good that you were here. It's good that you have a home somewhere else. Amen. One man told me, I won't name him, but he told me when all of his kids moved out of the house, he was so excited. Praise the Lord. He wasn't sad about being an empty nester. He was thrilled. He was thanking Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyway, if you'd known his kid, no. All right, praise the Lord. Now, you understand that when our prayer contains God's word, how many know it's already settled in heaven? The verdict has already been delivered, right? So what happens is, when our prayer contains the word of God, John said, you know, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will or his word, we know he heard us. Why? Because it's settled up there. It's already settled up there. You can't change it down here. Now, people are trying to change the word today, but you can't change the word today. Amen? If God says something's wrong, society can't make it right. You can legalize it, but it's not legal with God. And like one Supreme Court justice said, there was a debate over something that America was going to legalize that the Bible didn't permit. Amen? And one Supreme Court justice that had some common sense said, well, if it was wrong 200 years ago, how could it be right today? Amen. Oral Roberts said this. He said, God never made you to be something he forbid. He didn't do that. The devil did that. People say, well, God made me this way. God doesn't make anybody to be something he's forbidden in his word. You're being deceived, see? And the only reason why God tells you not to be that is because it'll destroy your life. He loves you. It's kind of like when I've told you the story many times. When I was 4 or 5 years old, I was laying over mom and dad's bed, and I had found a couple copper wires, just bare copper wires. And I'm laying there over the bed, and I got them up by the outlet. Well, my mom comes in. And she sees that. She says, don't you dare stick those in that outlet. As soon as she left the room, I stuck them in. Now, mom was just trying to keep me from having pleasure, enjoying my life. I mean, mom's trying to have fun here, mom. No, what I found out is she knew something about that that I didn't know, and I haven't done that since. It was kind of like one time when I was 12 years old, I was in the hospital, and they ran two wires up my nose, two wires. I don't know what they were doing. I don't remember now, but I just remember being in. And at 12 years old, I made up my mind, nobody's ever doing that to me again. And then COVID hit. It wasn't wire, but you know that swab thing they put up there? You know, does that hurt? Well, yeah, it hurts. What level? Don't you love it when they ask you, now what level of pain are you having? From 0 to 10. I don't know. Right. It's just bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had 10. But whatever it is you're doing right now, quit it. So, how many of God is not against people. He's against people destroying their lives. Amen. Now, we understand here that if our prayer contains God's word, it's already settled up there. It's already a done deal. Amen. So what are we talking about? I hope you're getting this, that you just don't throw anything up there and hope it sticks. You go find out what God said. Matter of fact, go to Isaiah, because he said something here that I really like. Well, he said a lot of things I really like, but there's something here in Isaiah I really like that brings out what I'm saying here. So God's word is settled in heaven. How many of you got to get it settled in your life that this is the way it is? And if I ask anything according to God's will, he hears you. Now, let me help you with that. If you're praying for something that's the will of God for your life, you find it in the Bible, you find a promise in the Bible. My suggestion to you is this. I've learned I need to do this. Maybe you don't have to, but I need to do this. When I pray and I ask God for it, all right, I make sure that his word promises it to me, first of all. And then it's good for me to write it down. Because if it doesn't happen overnight, I'm going to have a fight of faith. So I need to write it down and settle it. I asked God according to his will on, let's just use March 16th, 2025 for this. I asked God for this. I've got, that way I can look at that and say, hey, I asked God for that. From here on out, it's just a matter of it manifesting now. Yeah. Amen? You know, I don't know what the time frame is going to be, but I do know what he said. If I ask according to his will, he hears me. So I write it down. I got it. This is the day I got it. Because that's what he said. See what I'm saying? Now, I may go back to him and thank him for it. I may go back and remind him of his word. But I've released my faith. I have it, see. You see what I'm saying? So let's look and see what God said for us to do. Now, this is the Lord talking to us. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 26, God said to Israel, and it applies to us, he said, put me in remembrance. Isaiah 43:26, did I tell you right? Isaiah 43:26, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare that you may be justified. That's the King James. But I love this part. He said, put me in remembrance. Now, when you remind somebody of something, what are you doing? You're telling them something they've already said. Amen? You see, if I promise to take you out and buy you a meal at your favorite restaurant, you could remind me. You said, Pastor, you said you'd do that. See, all you're doing, now I'm not going to get offended at that. You're just telling me what I already said. God said, put me in remembrance. One great example of this, and I read this today, is in Exodus when the children of Israel had, in modern translation, ticked God off. Big time. I mean, when you want to get rid of all the kids, and remember that God said, I'm going to destroy them all. I'm going to start over with you, Moses. That's a bad day. I don't think I've ever pushed God that far, but they had pushed God that far. And then and Moses stood, and Moses, then what the Bible says, he was the most humble man in all the earth, because you know, he was their pastor. He was their shepherd. And these was a rebellious bunch. And if God had told most shepherds, I'm going to get rid of all those people, they'd say, thank you, Jesus. New troops for the church. Hallelujah. But Moses stood in the gap for him, right? He began to pray. And he said something. This is Exodus 32. He said, I think it's 13 and 14. He said, Lord, remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, how you swear to them. What did he do? He put God in remembrance of what he said. And then the Bible in the King James says God repented, or literally what it means is he relented. He said, okay, I won't do it. But he was going to do it, wasn't he? He said he was. Then Moses reminded him of his word, and God said, okay, I'll pardon according to your word. Amen. So that's an example of putting God in remembrance of his word. Hey, it was God's idea to heal me. Wasn't mine. It was God's idea to save me. Wasn't mine. It was a good idea. How many know that? It's God's idea to meet my needs. It wasn't mine. He's the one that thought of it up. So I'm just reminding him something he already said. And he told us to do that. And I really think, honestly, I think it blesses God when we do know, when we do show him we've been paying attention. I remember Brother Hagin years ago. I really had a lot of respect for Brother Hagin's ministry, trusted his ministry, trusted, you know, his supernatural things that he had happened in his ministry. And he talked about one time the Lord told him, when he was teaching him on authority, actually the Lord had appeared to him. He was kneeling and praying in a kitchen after a service at a pastor's house, and they knelt down to pray. They were just going to pray with the pastor's little daughter, if I remember the story right, and he went over in the spirit, and he saw Jesus. And Jesus started teaching him some things, and he told him about this. He said, for a believer to ask me, Jesus said this to Brother Hagin, for a believer to ask me or God the Father to do anything about the devil, he's wasting his time. I've done everything I'm going to do about him. He's already defeated him. How many know that? And he gave us authority. So he was just telling Brother Hagin, you got to do something now. Now, when we do something, God will release his power. All right? But it's our deal now. And so Brother Hagin said, Lord, he said this to Jesus. He said, I've read the Bible through 150 times and portions of it more. And if there's anything in there like that, I don't know about it. Now, you'd have to understand and go back to old Pentecost, because they would pray, Lord, rebuke the devil. Remember that? Because they took that one scripture out of Jude, where Michael, the archangel, said to the devil, the Lord rebuke you. Well, that's the archangel. God gave us authority over the devil. Not that the archangel doesn't have, but I'm just making a point. That's a totally different thing altogether. Now, so he said that to Brother Hagin, for you're wasting your time. And Brother Hagin said, if there's anything like in there, I've never seen it. And he said, I've read the Bible through 150 times and portions of it more. Like, that's going to impress Jesus, right? He is the Word. How many know that? He said, Lord, he said, I know I'm seeing you. I know you're talking to me, but you're going to have to give me at least three witnesses, two or three witnesses out of the Bible. Yeah, I think he said, you're going to have to give me at least three witnesses out of the Bible. Because old Pentecost didn't believe, they never had heard of that. That's not what they believed. And he said, Jesus looked at him and he smiled real sweetly. He said, son, I'll go you better. I'll give you four. And he said, well, if there's anything like that in there, I never heard of it. He said, the Lord said, there's a lot in here you don't know. I mean, there's still a lot in there we don't know, right? And he gave him four scriptures. You know, resist the devil, he'll flee from you, right? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, in my name, cast him out, right? All power has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. There's a bunch. There's more than four. There's a bunch in there that tell us that God's put the ball in our court now. We have to do something about him.
That's right.
Now, I don't want you to think we're leaving God out of this. It's his power that's going to back us. But God says, I've already taken care of him. You do something, and I'll stand up for you.
Amen.
Right? You think about this. When you join the, if you would join the police department, they give you, they swear you in, they give you a badge, okay? They give you, you know, street duty. So you're out with your patrol car and you see somebody run a red light, you know, on the expressway. How many know, you don't call the chief of police and say, somebody just ran a red light, can I pull them over? How many know that might be cute one time. But the next time you wake him up at 2:30 in the morning to ask him if you can give a ticket, how many know he's going to say, we authorized you. We gave you a badge. We gave you authority. Do your job. See, that's what has happened to us in this New Testament. Jesus has already defeated the devil on our behalf. He's authorized us. He told us, you go do your job. You resist him. You stand against him. Now, the Lord will help you, but you got to do your part. We can't do this without him, but he can't do this without us. Because he gave us authority. Amen. You know, somebody gives you authority to do something, then it's in your ball, it's in your court. Amen. So, what scripture are we at right now? Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 62. We got a little bit more time. Go to Isaiah 62. Let me show you this here in Isaiah 62. Because I'm just talking about here about putting God in remembrance of his word. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? Well, we do by the word, right? The word gives us God's mind. Amen. And how many know it's better to pray his mind than it is your mind? Right? How many can say amen about that? It's better to pray Christ's mind than our mind. It's like I told you that one pastor, I thought that was so funny. I told you this while the last teaching that pastor said he had a teenage girl in his church came up to him. He was teaching on prayer and said, Pastor, when I pray, I get one of three answers. God says yes, he says no, or he says, you've got to be kidding. I thought that was funny. You know, but let me know, God doesn't say no to his promises, right? They're yes and amen. And the got to be kidding, it came out of your head. So it's better to pray the mind of Christ than to pray our mind, right? See, what he had to say is far more important than anything we would ever say. Fleshly prayers profit nothing. But his word is spirit and life. So when we put his word in our prayer life, we put spirit and life into it. We make it live. Amen. So when we base it on his will, on his word, then it's alive. Isaiah 62, look at this, Isaiah 62. We've looked at some scripture tonight. I hope you're getting something out of this. Isaiah 62, verse 6 says, I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, see, he promised he would do this, see. But here's the interesting thing. Now, the King James Version says, ye that make mention of the Lord, but my cross reference says it this way, you that are the Lord's remembrancers. Now, I looked this up in the Hebrew, and make mention, you that make mention means, it actually means to put God in remembrance, to remind him. And he's telling Israel here, remind me what I said I'd do for Jerusalem. Remind me of that. The Amplified Bible, let me read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says it this way. I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his servants and by your prayers put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silence. Give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth. So it's the Lord that told us to put him in remembrance of what he said. Lord, you said in your word this or that. See, I've reminded you before. Lord, you said, I've reminded about healing before. Lord, you said, you're the one that said it. I know he's not withholding, but he said to do this, right? He said to do it. So obviously it does something in the spirit realm that's effective. Amen. Now, let me close by this. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, and this is our last scripture tonight, Ephesians chapter 6. We're just talking about how God's Word's a solid foundation for your prayer life. Have you ever seen people get saved? I remember somebody getting saved one time, and we've been praying for them and believing God for them to get saved. And they got saved. They gave their life to the Lord one night, and they showed zero emotion. Zero. Now, you know, being a young, you know, believer at the time, I was like concerned, like, you know, zero emotion. And that was about 40 years ago, and they're still serving the Lord today. But I've seen them cry and sling snot, and you think, man, they had an experience with God and can't get them back in church. Some people are just emotional. But you know, and it's okay to be emotional. God gives you emotion, but don't let that run. Don't let that run your life. Let the Word run your life. You know, thank God for emotions. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I like emotional people that know how to handle their emotions. You know what I'm saying? I like people to get excited. You know what I'm saying? I don't like everybody at church to be like, if you ever watch the Andy Griffith Show and you see, what's the band on there? What's the group on? The Dillards? Darlings. The Darlings. The Darlings. That's a men's department store, Dillards. You know, really, I think, honestly, before you make too much fun of me, I think that group's name really was in real life the Dillards. Yeah, it was. But on the show, they were the Darlings. And the boys, I mean, they were flatline. I mean, it's like, is there a pulse here? You know. I prefer church people don't be that way. Right? The praise team prefers you don't be that way. All right? Yeah, be like Ernest T. Bass. Throw some rocks if you have to stir some things up. You know, when Ernest T. showed up in town, something happened, man. There's going to be some excitement. I prefer you come to church that way, all right? But my point is, we don't base our relationship, whether God heard us or he didn't hear us, based on how we felt when we prayed. Man, I have prayed for people in a prayer line before, and I tell you, I felt zero anointing, and they got healed. So you can't go by that. I've had preached messages before, and I'm thinking, man, I'll be glad when this is over with. Any preacher ever done? You preach one, and it's like, this is not going tonight. I'm just like, man, let's end this as soon as we can. You know, I've learned over the years, you know, if it's not going like I think it should be, you know, I used to just drag it out and hope we'd hit something, like playing poker. I've learned let's just go home or do something different. But I've had those messages before where I just felt like, you know, man, this is not really going well tonight. And then somebody come up and say, that changed my life. So I learned you can't base it on that. You just can't base it on that. You know, that's just your feelings. They come and go. Remember the old song, it can't be wrong when it feels so right? I mean, that's garbage. It's not scriptural. You can feel good about it and then it'd be wrong. Right? But you cannot feel anything, but if you've got the Word, you've got a solid foundation, because the Bible says if we ask anything and we feel like he heard us, then he heard us. Doesn't say that, does it? If we ask anything according to his word, his will, his word, we know he heard. Doesn't say anything about feelings. Thank God for feelings. But if they don't come, I still got the word. I still got the word. Brother Hagin tells a story, and I'll close with this, about a missionary that was years ago was a missionary to a certain Indian tribe and was on the reservation. They had a church there. Actually, had a church there. This missionary had a church there, and they had church for the Native Americans there. And there was one Indian guy. He was a big guy, and he would get drunk, and he would come in, and he'd bust the service up. And it you know, he was hard to handle. They'd have to call the police. They had a hard time handling him. He was just a big guy. And said, you know, when he showed up to church, that's what was going to happen. He was going to come. He's been drinking. He's going to stir things up. So there was a lady preacher. She's up preaching one night, and he comes in. And she's like, oh, brother, here he is. And she's preaching on, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, that's a scripture out of Romans. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. She gave an altar call. He starts coming down the aisle, and she thinks, oh, here he comes. He's going to bust the altar up and everything else, pulpit and everything. But he kneels down. And she realized, you know, he's given his life to the Lord. And he got down, and he prayed this, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he got up. And everybody's like, oh, man, wait a minute. You need to get down here and pray some more. You just got down on your knees and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She said, wasn't she preaching out of the good book? This is what this guy said to him. Wasn't she preaching out of the good book? Yeah. Well, she said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He said, I just did three times. She said that guy became a pillar in the church. He didn't show enough emotion for people when he got saved, so they didn't think it. But he believed the word, right? Amen. Motion may come later, but, you know, whether it comes or it doesn't, we got the word of God on it. When you're in prayer, motion may be there. Thank God. I prefer it does. But if it doesn't, I still got the word. I still got something to stand on. And whether I feel emotional or not, whether I feel the presence of God or not, I'm going to stand on the word because that's how I'm going to get my results. Amen. So this lesson, we're just talking about how God's word is a solid foundation for our prayer life. Amen. Now, I think I told you to go to Ephesians, didn't I? I didn't read it. Let's read that. We'll close. Ephesians 4:17 says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. So the sword of the Spirit's the word of God. When we incorporate God's word in our prayer life, guess what it does? It gives the Spirit something to work with. Just like in the beginning, when God said, let there be light, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. When God said, let there be light, he went to work, praise the Lord. But he has to have something. You got to give him something. You got to give the Spirit something to work with. And he works with the Word. Amen. So, don't fall for that ever again. I didn't feel God's presence when I prayed today. I've had plenty of those days. But did I pray according to his will? Did what I ask, is it based in the Bible? That's all that matters. How many know that? That's all that matters. Praise the Lord. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.